I sure do appreciate Christ honoring music, don't you?
Amen.
And even when it's some with a good voice, that's even better. So appreciate that. Glad you're here for the Michael Wiggins farewell tour. Glad you're here. I do have to ask a favor of all of you folks, is that whoever's praying against our house selling, quit. All right, we got to sell that thing. We haven't had nobody look at it yet. So if you're interested in house, come see me afterwards. I'll give you a good deal on it. Knock a couple $100 off for you because your family. But we're so thankful to be able to preach. I appreciate Pastor allow me to preach. And I've been just blessed to have time during the fall and during the springtime to be able to preach series and things. And me and Brother Brandon was talking tonight. He says, what's the name of your series? I said, well, it's the farewell tour. That's all it is. I'm just going to preach whatever the Lord lays on my heart, and that's really what Pastor asked me to do. Hebrews chapter 7 tonight, Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to look at several scriptures tonight and talk about the perfect high priest. Nothing new, but hopefully it'll be a blessing tonight. And we'll get to Hebrews chapter 7 here in a little bit, but I want to kind of give you just a little brief summary of what a high priest was. And of course, we know that the book of Hebrews was written to show us that Christ is better than whatever, the high priest. He's better than the Old Testament. He's better than the law. He fulfilled the law. He's better. And so the writer of this, which we believe probably is Paul, is writing this to show us that in Jesus Christ, there is completeness. In the Old Testament, there was never completeness. There was never a means. There was a means to the end. That was always Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the high priest tonight, and there's several chapters, about seven chapters that mention about the high priest, and chapter 7 and chapter 9 are really kind of your main ones, but we're going to look at several verses out of Hebrews tonight. But what was the high priest? The high priest was appointed. He had to be a Levite of the lineage of Aaron, and of course he was appointed to be, and it was usually the oldest son, was appointed to be the high priest after Aaron anyway. And so then we see that what he had to go through was a purification process. It was a time that they would purify him, that they would anoint him, that they would do this ceremony with him. And then also they would sanctify him, and he would be set apart for the service of the high priest. It was a very special thing. And basically what the high priest was is he was really had a pretty good job. He only worked once a year, basically. Yeah. On the Day of Atonement, on the seventh month, the tenth day of the seventh month. And but his daily duties was to oversee the regular priests and all the operations of the tabernacle of the temple. And even when the time that the book of Hebrews was written, the temple was still in still upright. And of course, we know it was going to be destroyed when the Romans came, and they would destroy it. But possibly when this was being composed, it was still there. So you can kind of think about that. But the high priest, he was there to be in the daily ministration of the priest and of the priestly role. But his biggest role was in the seventh month and the tenth day of that month, which was the Day of Atonement. He would take the sacrifice, and he would, number one, he would make a sacrifice for himself because he himself was a sinner, and he would have to make sure that he was right with God, because God didn't play in those days. If you went into that Holy of Holies, if you went into the most holy place, as the Scripture calls it, and you had sin in your life, you die in there. The glory of God was too much. And so you can read about it. They would put bells around them and a rope around them. If they die in there, you just pull them out. Nobody could go in and get them. It was a serious deal. In other words, when you were a high priest, it wasn't something that you just wanted to do just for the fun of it. It was a very serious, and by the way, God's a serious God when it comes to a picture of his son. And so the high priest would first make a sacrifice for himself, and then he would take the sacrifice and he would go into the most holy place. And we'll talk a little bit more about it here in a little bit, but he would go in the most holy place, and on the mercy seat, he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat and wait for the glory of God to come down to show that he was accepting that sacrifice. As the people were camped about the tabernacle, And we know that, especially in the temple times, that the people were dependent on the high priest to push their sins forward one more year. That he was doing it right, that he was doing it appropriate, and that he was representing them inside that most holy place. By the way, when he went into the most holy place, nobody could see what he was doing except him and God. But I'm going to tell you what, you didn't want to mess up because God would reveal that you messed up. And you can actually study them. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to skip some of these verses because I can't read the whole chapter or the whole book of Hebrews. But I want to begin in verse 11, if you will. Verse 11, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. And we'll read to verse 22. And it says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? And not to be called after the order of Aaron. So they're asking a question. So if the first way was right, if the first order, which was the order of Aaron, the priesthood came through Aaron, they said, then why did Jesus Christ need to come? Jesus Christ was not of Aaron. He was not of the Levites. He was of the tribe of Judah. But the great thing was God... It's really kind of great. God kind of put in the beginning in Genesis, there was a man named Melchizedek. And he met Abraham coming back. And matter of fact, we know that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, which means tithing is not a law. It's not in the law because it was given before the law. Tithing is God's plan. But also, too, we know that there was a high priest before there was ever a law. But if you study Melchizedek, and you should, and we're going to talk about him tonight, but a little bit, but Melchizedek, the Bible tells us that he had no father, he had no mother, he had no beginning, he had no end. Who do we think it was? Well, there's only one person in the world that didn't have a mother or father necessarily, right? No beginning or end. I believe it was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I believe God was giving us a picture of what was to come. And by the way, everything in the Old Testament was to give us a picture of what's to come. When you read the Old Testament, you ever ride down the road, and I've been driving a lot here lately, and it's like they're doing, by the way, Texas is not the only state doing construction. It's Mississippi, it's Louisiana, it's Alabama. All of them are doing it. And guess what? It's just like Texas. You drive out there, there's not a soul working. But the cones are representing those guys as they're somewhere else. And I was going down the road, and of course, I'm driving back. I left Sunday night after church at 7 o'clock. I left at about 7:05. I was in my truck, and I drove through the night. I got back here at 5 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Is that what it worked? I slept Monday night, I think. I don't know what today is. But anyway, but in that moment, when you're falling asleep and you see that arrow that says right lane closed, it's giving you an arrow, right? It's pointing you a different direction. The Old Testament is an arrow that is pointing you to the New Testament. It's pointing you to Christ. The tabernacle in itself, the temple in itself, the all the drapes and the curtains and all the things that was there was a picture of Jesus Christ, of the things to come. And so notice what they're going to say here. He says after the order, but notice verse 12, it says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity a change also of the law. Now notice what he's going to say, verse 13. He says, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attention at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, for it is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. He says, for he testified, thou art a priest. Notice the next phrase, forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is a forever priesthood. For there verily is disannulling, an ending, is what the disannulling means, of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, right? The law only told you what was wrong. It didn't tell you how to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? The law said, here's what I don't want you to do, right? Here's a list of things, but it didn't tell you necessarily what to do. Why? Because Jesus Christ was going to come and be what to do, to trust him. He's the only way. He's the door. He's the way. He's everything. But notice it says, to bring him a better hope, did by the which we draw near nigh unto God. Verse 20 says, and as much as not without an oath, he was made priest For those priests were made without an oath, but this one with the oath, him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That's where we're at tonight. That's Jesus Christ, our high priest, is a perfect high priest. And we'll look at that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Lord, I pray that you'd help me get this truth across tonight. I can't do it on my own. I wouldn't even want to try. And so, God, I just relinquish my will to you, my words to you, my life to you. Asking you for the next few moments, God, that you would just, Lord, help us to see our Savior as our great high priest. And, Lord, that he's not done. He's still working. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize the truth about that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you some things tonight. Number one, I want you to notice his compassion. Go back to chapter 5. His compassion. This high priest, this perfect high priest, his compassion. And we understand that that in this scripture, we're talking about the high priest. So look at Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse 1. It says, for every high priest taken from among men and ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Verse 2 says, for who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. In other words, Jesus said he was tempted in all points like we, but yet without sin. Jesus has compassion on us because he knows what we go through. He's an all-knowing God. He hurt on this earth, and he went through temptings and trials just like we did, but yet without sin, without a sinful thought that ever crossed his mind. And can I remind you that that a priest, a high priest in the days of, let's say, Aaron, they had compassion on people, but once that sacrifice was done, their compassion was basically, they couldn't reach out to the whole world. Matter of fact, the high priest only really represented the 12 tribes of Israel. That's who he wore the names of them on him, representing the people at that time. But Jesus Christ not just had compassion on a certain group of people. Amen. Hello, right. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe that Jesus has compassion on all people. Amen. And Jesus represented all people. And when he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven and he put his blood on the mercy seat, that he was showing his compassion toward those who are without. You realize Jesus died for Charles Manson?
Right.
That Jesus had compassion on him the day that he died. He was thinking of people who were going to reject him, but yet he still died. Why? Because he's a compassionate God.
Amen.
And you better be glad of that, or we'd all be dead. Or we'd all get severe spankings. Chastisement. But can I remind you of our perfect high priest and his compassion that he had? He has compassion when we're good, and he has compassion when we're bad. He has compassion when we love him, and he has compassion when we don't. And can I remind you tonight that we should have compassion? Jude tells us those having compassion making a difference. That's what we're to do.
Amen.
Notice number two, his calling, we find out also in Hebrews chapter 5. And matter of fact, in verse 1, you see it again. Let's read it again. It says, for every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men, and pertaining to God, that he offered both gifts and sacrifices. They were chosen among themselves there, as long as they were of the Levite and of Aaron's descent. But notice verse 5. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, this is God, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. By the way, when he was saying that, and we know that he was speaking of, you're my sacrifice, you're my son, in other words, you're the cure for the sin in this world.
Amen.
Notice verse 10. He says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know what? If God calls you, then that settles it.
Yeah.
By the way, too many people are man called, mama called, and daddy called. You know, I'm telling you, when you think of Jesus Christ and he's saying, this is my son whom I'm well pleased, and this is my high priest that's going to take your place. This is the one who's going to go into the holies of holies and sacrifice himself. And that's why on the day when Jesus was on the cross and he was being crucified, that veil that was between the holy of holies and the holy place, the most holy place and the holy place, was torn from top to bottom, showing we have access into the holies of holies. I'm glad we don't have to have a man man high priest anymore. I'm glad we have one that's seated in heaven tonight, and that his calling was to come to this world and be a high priest for me and for you. Amen. Now go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 20. Notice what it says, if I can see it. It says, whether the forerunner is for us, entered in even Jesus. Notice this, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I like that word forever. I don't understand why people can't get it. And I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but if we can earn our salvation, if we can work for our salvation, why do we need Jesus? But I want to tell you, Jesus did it for you. And salvation is not a works. We know that through the scripture. But also that if you don't believe in eternal security, you don't believe that Jesus did it all. Amen. You believe it's part of you. You can't do anything. Amen. I mean, it just boggles my mind. It says that he is a high priest forever. And we'll show you other verses here in a minute. But I'm telling you, he's the one keeping you tonight. Amen. Not you yourself. There's days I wake up and don't feel like a Christian. There's some days I wake up and feel like a nut. That was a commercial. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Anyway, everybody's asleep tonight. It's cold weather. Everybody's thinking of fireplace and the Rangers, so I'll try to hurry. I don't want to get in your way of your Rangers. I think it's their turn to lose tonight. I mean, it's all about money. It's all about money. They get billions of dollars, so it's like, okay, tonight y'all win. Tomorrow night, y'all win. And then when they get closer to the game seven, they're like, all right, we really will play tonight. So anyway, it is RE2 to nothing anyway, so don't worry about it, all right? I'm just kidding. I don't know what the score is. Some of y'all just opened your phone up, didn't you? High Priest Rangers. Chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 26. Some of y'all, I could feel the air leave the room. Verse 26, it says, for such an high priest, now notice this, chapter 7, verse 26, it says, for such a high priest became us, or sorry, I'm on the wrong chapter, hold on, I wasn't the one I wanted. Where am I supposed to be at? Anyway, yeah, it's supposed to be before that. Look at verse 23, sorry. He says, and they truly were made priests because they suffered to continue, that's still not it. Anyway, I found something somewhere. Anyway, we'll find it in a minute. It is in this chapter somewhere. I see it now. Here it is. I wrote it down. You know what? Let's look at verse 18. Yep, verse 17. Let's just read it all. I don't care. This is my farewell tour. Verse 17 says, for he testifies, thou, here we go. Yes, hallelujah, I found it. Thou art a priest, say it, class, forever after the order of Melchizedek. So his calling, he was called to be a priest, not for a short time, but for eternity. And we'll see that also. But I want you to notice number three, not only does this perfect high priest have compassion, his calling, but we see his completion. You know, one thing the high priest never did, they never completed the task necessarily. Because why? Next year, I got to do it again. Next year, I got to do it again. Next year, I got to do it again. Listen, and not counting the daily sacrifices that they did, people coming in and bringing in the sacrifices and all these things, is that we see that he completed. Go back to chapter 4. Go back to chapter 4, if you will, maybe, if this is the right one. Hebrews chapter 4. I wrote down a lot of verses. I'm trying to... Notice verse 14, 4:14. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest... that is passed into where? The heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but at all point was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy to find grace and help in a time of need. Yeah. He says that, listen, here's where our high priest is. He's not in some temple on earth. Everything on earth is temporal. Yeah. You know how I know that? Because Revelation says one day we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah. This one's going to be gone. How long is this earth going to last? I don't know. Ask California and the global warmest people. You know how long it's going to last? It's going to last until Jesus calls us out here in the rapture, and then it's going to last 7 more years. Come on. I don't care about the ozone or anything else. Jesus has got this world in his hand, and when he's done with it, ba-ba, it's gone. He'll take care of it. You know why? Because he's building a new one.
Amen.
Waiting on that one. The new Jerusalem. Now notice what he says. Go back, if you will, to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. He says, we have such a high priest who is, now notice the next word, class, who is set. That word set is concrete, right? When you let concrete set up, you don't redo it. When it's dry and it's set, it's done. He is set. Now notice again, he says set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's the place of power. That's the place of I'm done. He's seated. There was no chair in the most holy place. There was no chair nowhere in the temple or in the tabernacle. Why? Because their duty was never done. And notice what else he says in verse... read over to chapter 10, and look at verse 11. Chapter 10, verse 11. This is a good verse, by the way. If you don't have this in Mark, this is a good verse. It says, and every priest standing daily ministering and offering oft-times the same sacrifice, notice this, which can never take away sin. He can't do it. All that he can do is push it forward a year until when? Until Jesus comes. And when that priest and that high priest were sacrificing, everything was a picture of Christ. That blood, listen, could you imagine? I thought about this when we were over in Israel a year and a half ago now. And talking about, we were there at maybe one of the temple sites or tabernacle sites, whatever it was with David. And they talk about how many bones would have been discarded during the time of the tabernacle and temple days. Could you imagine every day they're sacrificing something and they would show like a shoot that went off the side of the hill and just all of the bones that would have been down there. But I begin to think about something else. All that sacrificing, think of all that blood everywhere. What was that a picture of? The blood that was to come. This blood couldn't save. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't save, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ is how we're saved tonight. Why? Because he completed and he's done. Listen. What was sad is that possibly during this time, they were still sacrificing things at the temple. They were still at the temple sacrificing things. They missed the whole thing. They missed it. Why? Because Jesus had completed it. When he died on the cross and he was buried and rose again on the third day, when he said it was finished, it was finished. It was done. It was completed. And only Jesus' blood was powerful enough. And that's what makes him a perfect high priest.
Amen.
I'm not perfect in anything, and neither are you.
Amen.
But I'm perfect in God's eyes because Jesus is in me. Because he's the perfect one, the completion. But, man, I'm going to get excited on this one. Try not to because we're Baptists, but the last point tonight is his continuation. You say, wait a minute, you just said he was completed. Yeah, he completed his task. But I want you to look at this verse. Go to chapter 7 again. I know we're turning in Hebrews, and it's a good thing to use your Bible for church. But notice verse 23. This is where I almost got to a while ago, and I almost hit this verse, and I reminded myself I was on the wrong verse. But notice what happened here in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 7. It says, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, when you were a high priest, guess what? You were done. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you die, like if I die, I'm no longer associate pastor.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to come back. I don't know. I wish we could and just... No, but we can't. Don't want to. But verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath unchangeable priesthood. That's talking about Jesus. Notice that. Continueth. Now notice this, I love verse 25. If you don't have it marked, you ought to mark it. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
By the way, I don't want to be saved to the bare minimum. Jesus paid it some to him I owe. No, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
He's able to save us to the uttermost. That means to the Father is You say, how far is your salvation? It's in heaven. Your salvation, you're there.
Amen.
Notice what else this verse says. Try not to get excited. It's just talking about Jesus. But notice it says, of the saint unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing, I love this, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, Jesus finished the high priest, but yet he is still a high priest in heaven today, and he continues to be an intercessor for me and you. Jesus Christ is standing in your place before God tonight. Blows my mind. Why would he do that for us? 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "But for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." That Jesus, our high priest, is ever representing us in heaven. Can I remind you, he knows when you hurt, he knows when you're going through things, and he is still representing you, ever interceding for us. You see, the high priest in the Old Testament, his job was to intercede for the people, but it was once a year. And he said, all right, I'm interceding. How did I do that? I'm using the blood, the sacrifice, to intercede for you. I'm representing the people. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was born of a virgin, but he was mankind, so he could die for mankind. The angels couldn't do it. The angels of heaven couldn't come and die for us. Why? Because they had to be of us. Matter of fact, it had to be of Abraham, that we had to be flesh and blood. Jesus had to be flesh and blood. He was born of a virgin. Why? Because he couldn't have a sin nature. He didn't have a sin nature. Why? Because he was born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit planted that seed in Mary, and Mary was a virgin. She was used by God to bring forth our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was born in this world, the world didn't understand why he was born the way he was. He was supposed to be born a king, but he had to be born a servant. He had to be born a sacrifice. He was born our Savior.
Amen.
He was born our high priest. Listen tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, number one, you ought to get saved because he loves you. He has compassion on you. But also, too, I think sometimes we forget. We get in our little fog of worldly living sometimes and Ranger games and things like that. I'm just kidding. And we forget that he's seated at the right hand of God on high, saying, I represent Michael Wiggins. When Satan comes, nope, he's mine. I represent him. I took his place. He became my substitute. By the way, he's not only a high priest, but he's a king. He's Savior. He's everything. And tonight, I want to remind us that in heaven, tonight, while you're sleeping, there is a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God on high, who is keeping you. Tomorrow, I might have a bad day. I don't know. I kind of prepare for him. You know how I prepare for him? I pray and ask the Lord to help me. You know why? Because if I do have a bad day, he is still where he was today when it was a good day. When I lose everything, listen, if you don't believe me, read the book of Job. Job said, naked I came, naked I go, and blessed be the name of the Lord. He says it don't matter because God doesn't change. Our lives change, our circumstances change, or maybe our location sometimes change, sometimes our emotions change. But I want to tell you what, God never changes. He's representing you tonight. And maybe we just need to say, Lord, thank you. Maybe, you know, I feel bad for some Christians who live in fear. God says he's not giving us a spirit of fear.
Right.
You know why you shouldn't fear? It's because he's representing you tonight. And yet there may be the most turbulent storm going on in your life. I want to tell you there's one seated at the right hand of God on high, and he's representing you. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for being our great high priest tonight. Lord, there's so much more we could have said, but Lord, I believe you said what you wanted to accomplish. And Lord, just a reminder tonight that you're seated at the right hand. You're representing me tonight. God, that I can go through the storms, I can go through the good times, I can go through the valleys and the mountaintops. Lord, because you're not going to change. You're seated. It's done. It's finished. And Lord, you're the one doing the keeping tonight. And Lord, I just pray you touch your people's hearts, and Lord, that you would deal with your folks according to your will. I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Follow." Us.